Darkwraith Publishing presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, Section 4 for Autumn Semester 2014. Lecture 13, delivered on October 1, 2014. The title of this lecture is Applications Using Time Value of Money.
Today, applications using the time value of money. To a certain extent, this is just getting you to the point where you can do these problems like a boss. And so someday you're going to be at a finance singles bar. And you're going to be sitting next to a really attractive lady. Lady, right? Not guy. Okay. Now, she's going to say, can you calculate the current yield to maturity on a 10-year bond? And you know what? If you can do it, you'll go home and breed that night. I know, right? So this is worth your time to do this. The first thing I'm going to teach you is bonds. Not James Bonds, but bonds. When we talk about consumer debt, you're mostly going to, in your lives, in your personal lives, you'll be dealing in consumer debt, which is actually different in its construction than corporate and government debt. Because with consumer debt, your payments are such that at the end of the life of the loan, you've paid off the balance, you've paid off the principal. With corporate and government debt, that's not how it works. Through the life of a loan to a company or to the government, all the borrower is paying is the interest. And then at the end, the principal is paid off. So in other words, with government and corporate debt, all they are doing is servicing the debt through the life of the instrument. You, in consumer debt, you're servicing and amortizing the debt. So we start with that basic idea. And I had mentioned this before, and I'll bring it up now again. Unless I say otherwise, assume that the face value of debt is $1,000. In other words, we are always assuming that what you are going to pay back is $1,000. So that is always, always going to be the face value, FV. That's also the future value. So when we do these TVM calculations on your calculator, the FV would always be a 1,000 in that slot. In other words, these loans have a kicker at the end. Wait. That was Denny's. Monday. Another thing, and I'm going to have to, I'll bring this up later. We're not going to talk too much about it now, but when I say par, par means the thousand. Below par means below the thousand. And above par, or at a premium to par, means above 1,000. Now, one more thing, and I'm not going to do this right away, but by the end of this little thing, I will tell you more about it. We don't quote from $1,000. We quote from a tenth of $1,000. So in other words, if the bond price is $987.50, I would quote 98.75. That's how we do it. Historically, it had to do with using minimizing the column space for printing bonds in newspapers. But it's just, that's how it's done, 98.75. And although we mean $987.50. So on an exam or on a quiz, and I'll put up a little quiz for the weekend just with some of these problems we're doing today. But on a quiz or an exam, if I say, what's the price of the bond, you'd say $987.50. But if I said, quote the bond, you'd write $98.75. Now, this might seem a little silly. I actually knew a guy. He thought he was going to be a day trader. This was back before, this was back in the early 90s. And he was interested, he bought a bond, and he saw that it was running at 95.40. And so when he got his statement, they had whacked out $984. He had a fit. They're ripping me off. They bought 10 of these. I told them to buy one. He didn't understand. The quote was not the price. He was that minimal in his knowledge, which sort of tells you what happened to him when he got into serious day trading. He got out of it when he got tired of having no money. But anyway, that's that. Now, but for the time being, we'll just talk about price. But then I'll remind you the quote would be afterwards. Okay, so keeping this in mind, we're going to need a few pieces of information. Let's do an IBM 24 3.8%. Now, some of the newspapers are actually writing it as 2024. But if you just see two numbers, that's actually the year of maturity. And I'm not going to make this too complicated here. You can get into part years. I don't do that in a class like this. But so, in other words, this instrument will mature in 10 years. It still has 10 years to run. Okay? So, this is the coupon, the interest rate. So in other words, if I buy this bond today, I will get 3.8% of the face value, which is always $1,000. So the actual dollar amount of the payment is going to be $38 every year. That's my payment. Every year I'll get a check. And then at the end of 2024, I'll get one last $38 check, and I will get another check for $1,000. They'll pay off the face. So in other words, like all corporate and government bonds, the debt is serviced through its life and then retired on face at the end at $1,000. We're going to need one more piece of information. IBM issued these bonds stating that their judgment was that the risk of this instrument was commensurate with an interest payment of 3.8% a year. Let's say that over time, the market has figured, well, this thing is not as risky as IBM. Let's say that the market figures it's probably the risk level of this debt is 3.8%. That's called the yield. Now, we're going to need all of these little pieces of information to do this problem. I want you to open up your calculator. The best way is to not give you a whole lot of theory here. It's just to say, let's get it done. You turn on the calculator. I am not good here. Now, I want you to do this. Hit Apps, Finance, TVM Solver, and here we are at the top of the screen. Now we're going to lock and load. N, how many years till this bond finishes up? How many years do I have? What was it? 10. Now go down to I percent. What are you going to put in the I percent? Talk to me. You got two percentages up there. Which one goes in I percent? The 3.5. 3.8% really is all that is an easy way of saying $38. That's not really a percentage in a sense. The one that goes in I percent is 3.5. The yield, 3.5. So I'm going to put in 3.5. Now, we want to know the price of this bond right now. What is the price of this bond? What is the price? So the price value, PV, we're going to leave alone. And we're going to just skip on down to the payment. What's the payment you get every year for holding this bond? $38, key in 38. Now, the FV, what's the face value of the bond? 1,000. Now, look down, you should see 1, 1, and the toggle should be on end, not on begin. 1, 1, end, not begin, okay? Now you go back up to the price value, PV, and say alpha solve. And what do you get for the, yeah, go ahead. N is the number of years to maturity. See, it's a 2024, and we're sitting at 2014. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. And I want to emphasize that too. I'm glad you brought that up. Don't try to do some weird are we at the half year or the whole year? Just assume it's whole years. In a class like this, if you want me to get complicated, take 341 from me. Then I'll make you sweat. With parts of years and all that kind of stuff. But for now, we're okay. Now, what do you get for the price value of this bond? What do you get? 1,024.95. Now, one quick thing. If I said quote the bond, you'd say 102.50. And do not put a dollar sign if it's a quote. Don't put a dollar sign because you would actually mislead the idiots who think it's a dollar amount. Yeah. Oh, yeah. PVs are always going to come out to be negative. Ignore that. It's just a calculator thing. Okay? So tell me, this bond is selling at a... what to par? Premium. A premium to par. You see that? This bond is selling at a premium. In other words, you're going to get $1,000 in 10 years. Why, can you tell me, why is this bond's price above $1,000 now if all you're going to get is $1,000 when the bond matures? Yeah. You're getting candy. This bond is paying more than the market figures it should. So in other words, investors are going to bid hard on this bond and push its price up. Because the bond is paying 3.8%, right now the market says it only would need to pay 3.5%, so investors are going to buy and push the price of this bond upward a little bit. So this bond is going to sell at a premium to par. And again, the price is $1,024.95. The quote is $102.50. Don't put a dollar sign on a quote. So if on the exam I say quote it and you put a dollar sign, you get a point off because you are saying that's a dollar value and it ain't a dollar value. That's just our way of saying $1,024.95. Okay, well, that wasn't bad. That didn't suck at all. Okay, now let's say that I don't know how it happened, but you've managed to live to the year 2019. Let's see what the same bond would be. We just did it in 2014. Let's say that everything stays the same, except that now we're going to go to 2019 and look at this thing again. It's still got the same parameters. Obviously, the only thing would be the yield that might change, but it's not changed. So let's walk our way up here and see what this bond's price would be with 5 years to maturity. Now, this is going to be really hard to do on the calculator. Go up to N and hit 5. Now, go down and find the present value again. See what I mean? That was hard. What's the price of the bond now? The price in 2019, if everything stayed the same, except for the year, 2019. Well, that's odd. The price went down. You know why? It's kind of almost obvious once you think about it. What? You're getting less of the candy. In other words, as you're approaching maturity, this bond is going to approach par. All bonds are going to, whether they're at a premium to par or they're below par, all bonds, as you get closer and closer to the date of maturity, they're all going to approach par. Theoretically, 1 second before the maturity happens, the bond would be worth $1,000, regardless of the spread between yield and coupon, because in 1 second, you're going to get $1,000. So in other words, all bonds, no matter how hard the spread is between yield and coupon, are going to be drifting toward par as you approach the time of maturity. Whether they're above par or below par, it doesn't matter. They're all, okay, there's one exception. A bond, all bonds will approach, as the time to maturity decreases, all bonds will approach par, or there's one other number that they could approach. Does anyone know the other number? What if the firm went bankrupt? What would the bond be worth? Zero. There. Good. So in other words, in rare instances, you know, there are bonds that actually the company is dead, but the bond actually still has a positive price because there are some years left and there is always hope that something will happen. But once, as you get closer and closer to par, a dead company is pretty much dead. You know, you have any living relatives? Okay. Mom? Dad? Okay. Dad dies. Okay. Now, 2 days before the funeral, he could still come back. He could sit right up in the casket. Of course, Mom would probably keel over. Oh, God! I thought he was dead. Shit. Okay. But as you get closer and closer to him going into that, he's going to be cremated, into that cooker, that slow cooker, there's going to be less and less hope. And then, of course, when they kick on the gas and light the fuse, well, that's the end of it. You know, there's no more. He won't come back. So in other words, there will be hope even for a dead company. Out here, there could still be a positive price, but ultimately, the bond is just going to drop, and there's no chance that it will come back, okay? So, now, let's do another one. I'm going to just put up another one. Let's say we have JXT 29, 4.8%, and yield on it right now is, let's say, 5.1%. In other words, the market says this bond should pay 5.1% coupons. That's not what the bond is paying, so let's see what happens. You do it. Crank it out and give me a hog call when you got the answer. Whoops.
Well, 5.1. Now the price value is payment on this one is $48 a year. And then the face value go up alpha solve.
What do you get for the price? $969. And 7 cents. The quote would be $96.91. Oops, six. Why do I keep writing? Okay. This one sells at a discount to par, as we say. And why does it sell at a discount to par? Why is this bond selling at a discount to par? It's going to give $1,000 in 15 years. Why is it selling at a discount to par? Yeah?
Because the yield on it is lower than the market.
In other words, the coupon is lower than the yield. In other words, the market's saying you should be paying 5.1%, but you're paying only 4.8%, so you suck. So there you go. That it's at a discount to par. Now, one thing you know, though, is that as the time to maturity decreases, in other words, as we approach the maturity date, what will happen to this price? It will, in this case, go where? Up. All bonds, unless they're dead companies, all bonds will eventually approach par. So as if you just hold this bond, the price is going to keep going up on it. You know that for a fact. But what really is the problem here is that you put money into lending. You lent money at a risk level of 5.1%, and you're being paid only 4.8%. Does that mean you're being screwed? No, because you got the bond at a discount because of that defect. So it all works out in the end. The price is reflecting any deviation between yield and coupon. In this case, you're going to get $48 a year. Now, I want to take you a little more realistic. Completely realistic. Bonds actually don't pay their coupon payment once a year. In other words, this bond, you actually wouldn't get $48 a year. You would get half of that every 6 months. Some are actually giving you a quarter of it every 3 months. Someone told me that there are bonds that are actually giving a 12th of it every month. I don't know about that one way or the other. I don't get into it that much. But the realistic thing is to look at it as if the coupons were being paid semi-annually. So let's do this bond more realistically now. Go back up to N. You should have put in 15 for N, right? Now here, we're going to say that the coupons are actually being paid semi-annually. So you'll double that to 30. So you'll do 15 times 2. Do 15 times 2. Now, here's the one. The interest rate isn't going to be the annual. You're going to divide 5.1 by 2 because the interest is being calculated every half year. So the 5.1, you key in 5.1 divided by 2. That's all you have to do. Don't try to calculate in your head. Just put 5.1 divided by 2 and then toggle down. 5.1 divided by 2. Now you got to remember something a little bit later. Okay, now the payments are now not $48 every time you get it. What are they? 24. Because you're going to get two of them a year. So you just do 48 divided by 2. Don't play with anything below that. Everything else below that is cool. Leave it alone, for God's sake. Now I want you to go back up and get your price value, alpha solve. So, the more realistic one will put the price at $968.81 with a quote of $96.89. Okay? That's more realistic. If you're going to do this, you might as well just do it with the semi-annual. So on the test, if you do it with the annual, you'll lose a point. But if you do it with the semi-annual, you won't. It's nothing big. Yeah, go ahead. This rounds to this, which is 8, 96.88. I'm just testing your ass. See? You caught it, and I wanted to see if anyone would catch that, and you did. That's good. Get off me. Lay off. Okay. Okay, well, that's kind of weird, isn't it? Look, with semi-annual, you're getting your money more frequently, and yet the price is lower. A little bit. Not much, but the price is a little bit lower. And that seems a little odd. You're getting your money, you know, instead of $48 once a year, you're getting $24 every half year. That sounds like that'd be a little bit better deal. But the price is lower when you do that. So why is that true? And the best way I can explain it to you is a little disgustingly. Sir, you have to eat a turd sandwich every year. Once every year, you have to eat a turd sandwich. Okay. Okay. You have to eat a half a turd sandwich every 6 months. Now, isn't that a little bit worse? Yeah. There you go. There's your damn explanation. Because this bond is paying below what it should. It's essentially you're getting a turd sandwich. And when you have to eat half of a turd sandwich every half year instead of a whole turd sandwich once every year, that's a little bit of a sad thing because you're sad not once a year, you're sad twice a year. Yes, but it's only half of the sandwich, but it's still a turd sandwich. Okay? Real finance for real people. Okay, that is doing bonds. Now, let's turn the problem around. Realistically, you don't need to know the price of the bond. The price is right there on the ticker symbol. What we usually actually are interested in is finding out the yield on a bond. So we have, for the next example, we're going to take a bond a VNZ 2034, 2034 at 6.2% coupon. And right now the price, and it is now quoting at 101.50. What's the yield to maturity? YTM is yield to maturity. It's no harder, but you got to remember something. We're going to do semi-annual, okay? We're going to do semi-annual from now on. Okay. What's the N? The N is there. What is it? 20. But remember that we're semi-annual, so how many payments will there be? 40. 20 times 2.
So we'll put up there 20 times 2.
Leave the I percent alone because that's what we're going to calculate. This time we have to calculate the I percent. Go down. What's the price value on this bond? Watch it. Yeah, I gave you the quote. Good. I gave you the quote. You got to tell the calculator the actual number. So in this case, it would be $1,015. And put it in as a negative. Present values always are negatives. Don't ask me why. Well, I know why. It's the chips that they've always... Anyway, 1015. Now, what is your payment? What's the coupon here? $62, but remember that you have to divide it by 2 because we're getting it in two half installments. So that's $62. Divided by 2. Now, I want you to go back up to I percent and alpha solve. Now, for God's sake, this is one of the things I want to see if I can keep this from happening on the exam. This is half of the year. Go clear over to the end of that number and times it by 2 to make it back into the whole year. Right now, you should see 3.03474, all that kind of stuff. Go over, go up there, go over to the back end of that number and hit times 2 and then toggle down. Make sure you do that because it kills me on the exam. I'll see 3.03% or something like that, and it kills me because, yeah, you did it right. You just forgot to times by 2 to turn it back into an annual interest rate. And if you do that, the yield to maturity is going to be 6.95%. Wait, 6. Wait, I'm sorry, I said that. 6.07. Jeez. Fortunately, that was one I saw right away was wrong. Okay, 6.07%. Here's your reality check. Now, hear me well on this. Now, you won't know if exactly that you're right, but I have a good sense that I am right. Because was this bond selling at a discount or a premium to par? It was selling at a premium. So that means that the coupon was too high. The coupon was 6.2%. So when I calculate the yield to maturity, it shouldn't be that high. And I'll be darned, it isn't that high. That doesn't tell me I'm right, but it gives me a good idea that I got it. 6.07% is below the coupon. This bond is selling at a premium to par. So, yeah, I probably did get it. And I will tell you this right now. There's one good thing about doing these kinds of calculations. If you make a mistake in putting a number in, your numbers just look totally wrong. So if you got numbers that are in the ballpark of being right, they probably are. Because if you made a mistake, it's just going to look like, yeah. Yeah. What was it?
I couldn't find yield.
You couldn't find it? That's how you put the cursor on and hit alpha sol.
Yeah, that's what I did. But then I don't know if I was wrong, but I put N40,
PV 1015, payment 31, FV 1000. Yeah. Negative PV. You always have to put in negatives. Yeah, it'll take you a while to get used to that. And don't use the minus sign. Use a negative. You got it? Did you get it there?
Yeah, but I got the wrong number.
Yeah, you have to multiply by 2. Yeah, there's steps to it. You have to do the steps. Now, Just one more thing about these bonds. Now, I'm going to give you, I'll be straight up with you. I'll give you a bond. I'll have you find the price of a bond and have you find the yield to maturity of a bond. It'll be on the exam. It is no harder than this. If you know what I did here, you've got, maybe 8 points on the exam. That means you can have mom put it up on the refrigerator. Or not. Okay, now there's just one other thing. Bonds can have all kinds of weird provisions. A couple of them are nasties. There's one provision that bonds can have. It's called callability. A bond can be callable. Now, the way you know that when you're reading bond quotes and things like that, you will see a little tiny C beside the bond. But here's what a callable bond is. You'll see a provision. VNC 2034, 3.2%. Callable in 2020. What that means is that the company that owes the money could, starting in 2020, just pay it off to the investors. They would do that if, let's say, interest rates had fallen quite a bit. The company would say, well, we can get this money cheaper, so let's just pay this off and refi at the lower coupon. Now, in other words, the lenders, the bond investors, get screwed in that deal. But callable bonds are out there. So sometimes what we want to know is the yield to call on a bond. In other words, we can calculate the yield to maturity, but we assume these sons of dogs are going to call this. I don't care if it's due in 2034. They're going to call it in 2020. So what we do is we'll do a second calculation, not just the yield to maturity, but the yield to call as well. So let's say that this is actually callable. Actually, they put that over here. Callable in 2020. It's really not hard to do. Trust me, it's not. All you have to do is change the N to the year of call. Go back up on your calculator, provided your calculator doesn't turn off. God, that irritates me. And all you do is change the N to the year of call and recalculate I percent. So in this case, the year of call is 2020, so the N would be 6 times 2. You see that? 12. Go back down and calculate. And again, do not forget to times the result by 2, because everything in there is semi-annual. So you do the times 2, and I find out that the YTC, the yield to call, comes out to be 5.90%. From the investor's point of view, this bond sucks. This is not giving you as much as you could get from Al's pawn shop. The yield to call is telling you, okay, investors, you lent this company money. Well, don't expect a whole lot of happiness, because they're going to call this. If interest rates are falling, they're going to call. And that means that you're going to get your money back and you're going to have to invest it at a lower rate because interest rates have fallen. Well, what that means is you ain't getting any 6.07% on your money. You're getting a lousy 5.90 on your money. The yield to call is interesting to invest to lenders, to corporations, just because it tells us Worst case scenario, this is how bad your investment's going to be. Okay? So, on the exam, I'm going to ask you to price a bond or quote it. I'll probably have you quote it. I'll have you find a yield to maturity, and I'll have you find a yield to call. And that will be a goodly number of points on the workout section of the exam, right there. And all it takes is you knowing how to use this calculator, which has that secondary benefit at the singles, finance singles bar. Okay? So, it's all good. That's all there is to this. Go ahead, fire.
Do you know if the app is the same on
89 and 84? Oh, God. There's the TVM app, the one that's on the 84, it is available on the 89, but it's not native. It's not included. You have to find it. Can you hook yours into the inner tubes? Is there a, okay, look in the butt end of it. Okay, see this one's got a, what's called the standard USB port. And then the other end, you just plug into your computer, and then you go to Texas Instruments. Now, yeah, and then you go to Texas Instruments, and they got apps. Now, by the way, no matter, even if you got an 84 or an 83 Silver Edition, you can plug it in, and you can actually get apps for your TI. And, of course, everyone goes and gets the game apps. There are actually game apps for this stupid-ass computer. You're nodding your head. Have you seen any of those? I mean, some of them are actually, I don't know, you know, there's Snake and stuff like that. So, anyway, yeah, so you can download that app. And I think there's even a more sophisticated time value of money app, too. But let's go back here, and I'm going to cover a few more problems. That takes bonds off the table. You know what I want you to know for the exam as far as bonds are concerned. Oh, by the way, before I forget, I told you that call provision sucks because a company can pay off the lenders early and the lenders are stuck holding the bag at lower interest rates to reinvest. There's another one that's much worse. It's called convertibility. Some bonds have a convertibility provision. In other words, the company could convert the debt into common stock. That's convertibility. The company could convert the debt into common stock. Now, why, when you're looking at bonds that are convertible, should you look them up on thissucks.com? Why is that a horrible thing? Go ahead.
If the company closes.
Or it's in trouble. That's right. There's no bankruptcy because they've turned all their debt holders into shareholders, and so they don't have to go into bankruptcy anymore. And the debt holders no longer have prior claim to the assets. They're just shareholders. They are screwed totally. Convertibility is an awful provision because essentially if the company can't pay the debt off, all it does is turn it into stock. And then they don't have to pay it anymore. They don't even have to pay a dividend. Remember, common stock, you don't have to do anything. So, yeah, that's not good. And so those kinds of bonds tend to have very... What kinds of prices would you see on convertible versus non-convertible bonds? What kind of prices are you going to see on those kinds of bonds? You're going to see lower prices because they're terrible. You can buy a tasty piece of steak from a high-end place like Fresh Market, or you can see something that has quotation marks around steak at Walmart. Now, you'll probably pay less because that steak could really, really make you have the trots. Or, it might even be some steak that they bought from Ebola Steaks R Us. Okay. Let's move on from debt. These time value of money formulas work for a lot of different things. I showed you the one with stock, but that was common stock. There's another kind of stock out there, preferred stock. Preferred stock is equity. Don't get me wrong about that. But it acts in many ways like debt, except with no face value. You see, with preferred stock, here's how preferred stock works. Preferred stock, the company's got money at the bottom line. It's got some net income, and remember, that belongs to shareholders. The shareholders can either get it as dividends, or they can realize through capital gains reinvestment in the money. If the company has preferred stock outstanding, preferred stock has to be paid its dividend. And if it is cumulative preferred, if the company can't pay the preferred stockholders their dividends, they can never pay the common stockholders a dividend until they've made up all of the dividends that they didn't pay to the preferred shareholders. So you see, preferred stock has that kind of feature, the prior claim. Common shareholders aren't ever going to get a dividend if preferred shareholders have not been paid theirs first. It's also like bonds because if a company has only common stock, it can pay a dividend and the rest it can reinvest in the company. But if there's preferred stock, that company shouldn't be putting money back into the company if it hasn't paid the dividend. So preferred stock behaves in some way, in many ways, like a bond. It's a fixed income security. If you invest in preferred stock, and it's good preferred stock, it just sends you a check. You get a check every year for your dividend. And I'll show you. ANS... cumulative preferred par value 60 per share now let's say that the market. Now, what this means, and I've left something out here. I knew I was going to do it wrong. ANS, 2% cumulative preferred. Now, what this means is that every year, a preferred shareholder, for each share of preferred, will get a check for $3. That's what it means. See how it's very much like a bond? Take the coupon times the face value for a bond. Take the dividend percent times the par value for preferred. It's very similar in that way. It's just a flat dividend. You get $3 a year. So you see why for people who are older, you would probably want to include some preferred stock in their investment portfolio because they're going to just get a check for $3. So if this person has 10,000 shares of ANS, that's a $30,000 check every year. Just right there. Permanently. And then they have another feature because markets will assess the risk of the preferred. Let's say that the market... Yeah. 2% times $60. Is that right? Or is it 30 cents? Oh, geez, Zoe. Geez, Sue, I am so sucking at math today. And I don't even remember taking crack cocaine for breakfast. Okay. What is it? 2%. I can't even think without my stupid calculator today. Say it. $1.20. Wow. Okay. Dividend. Is $1.20 per share. Jeez. Oy. Okay. One way or the other. Okay. Now, let's say that the market says this preferred stock has a risk associated with it. In percentage terms, let's say that that risk of ANS is, let's say, 1.8%. 1.8%. Let's try this. Madam, do you remember what I called a cash flow that stays the same for eternity? Do you? Stays, okay. You remember? A cash flow that never changes. A perpetuity. A preferred stock share is a perpetuity. It will be $1.20 every year for eternity. It will even pay after Jesus comes back. That's why he invests in these. You don't think so? You don't believe that Jesus saves. I'm going to hell for that one. I am. Okay. Do you remember? The present value is the D over the K for a perpetuity. Let's see what the price of this security is. The price of ANS would be the dividend that never changes. It's a perpetuity with no growth. It won't ever get any better. It'll just be that. Divided by what the market thinks this security should pay. And if you take $1.20 divided by 0.018, $66.67. Why is this preferred share selling at a premium to its par value? Can you tell me that? You see that, right? Why is this preferred share selling at a premium to its par value of $60? Yeah. No, it's actually simpler than that. The market says that it needs to pay a 1.8% dividend. This company generously pays a 2% dividend. So it's going to sell at a premium to par. What would happen if the market were saying this preferred should pay 2.4%? What do you know about the price then? Suppose that instead of a 0.018, I put a 0.024 down there in the denominator. What would happen to the price? It would sell at a, work it girl, a discount to par. Now what happens if the market says that the discount rate should be 2%? What do you suppose $1.20 divided by 0.02 is? $60. It would sell at par. These sons of dogs perform just like bonds that way. That's why, as an investment, remember, they are still riskier than a bond because it's still a residual after net income. But at the same time, if you're looking for a little more risk, therefore a little higher expected return, preferred stock is not a bad thing to think about, especially for old established companies. You buy the preferred stock, that company's not going to go away. So that's essentially going to be a perpetuity. If grandma lives to 120 and you finally have to trip her plug to make her go away, she'll still get her money forever. So in a way, with a bond, when it matures, you have to roll over to new investments. With preferred stock, you never even have to roll over. The thing just stays there forever. So it's something to keep in mind. Now, I showed you how to price a common stock share, and we'll do one of those real quickly here. TVP common just paid a 20-cent per share dividend that's expected to grow at 5% for the foreseeable future. TVP common has a beta of 1.25. If the expected return to the market portfolio is 6.5%, and a 10-year treasury note is currently yielding 2.2%. Let's do 2.4. What is the current price? 2.4%. What is the current price of TVP common? This looks almost identical to a question that will be in your workout section of the exam. Basically, just different numbers in a different company. The same question, though. If you can do this, you got some more points on my exam. Okay? I'm trying to telegraph my punches so you don't go away looking really hurt. Remember what I said. If you see a beta, an expected return to the market portfolio, and a treasury rate, that says CAPM. Just do it. Just get the CAPM done. Don't bitch about it. The K of TVP is going to be K sub F plus beta of TVP times K sub M minus K sub F. That's cap M for TVP. That's your formula. You should probably go and have this tattooed on you at one of those ink places. I could see that. It'd look good on your buttock. Yeah. So we just haul it through. The K of TVP is going to be the return to the treasury plus the beta of TVP, which is 1.25, times the expected return to the market portfolio, 6.5%, less the return to the treasury, 2.4%. Beat that out.
Wow. 2.4 plus plus 1.25 times the quantity, 6.5 minus 2.4, close parenthesis, and you get 7.525%. Now, on the exam, I'll ask you, what was the discount rate you used? It'll be part A, part B. You report 7.53%, okay? Just do that. That'll get you half the points. Not half, about a part of the points. Report 7.23%. Remember, always round to two decimal places to report. Don't stay with that. Use the whole number, though, when we go forward. The formula for a constant growth perpetuity would be the price of TVP is going to be the dividend one period out, which is the dividend now times 1 plus the growth rate, over the K for TVP minus the growth rate. Get that down. Don't use the current dividend, 20 cents. You have to grow it one period for the formula to work. Just remember that. Put it in your notes, and if you have to use a red pen, don't use the one that's the current. Yeah. That is the K sub TVP that I got by Cap M minus the growth rate of the dividend.
Can you repeat the numerator?
It is the dividend one period out. Not this dividend that was just paid. You have to grow it one period for the formula to work. So in other words, you take this dividend and grow it by 1 plus G. So in other words, my calculation here is going to come out to be 20 cents grown one period over 0.525 minus 0.05. That is K sub TVP minus G. Just do that. Don't ask why, for God's sake. And if you honk that thing through, 0.2 times 1.05 divided by open parentheses 0.07525 less 0.05, you get a current price for TVP common of $8.32. Yeah. Oh, where the calculation?
Yeah.
Do 0.2 times 1.05 divided by open parenthesis 0.07525 minus 0.05, close the parenthesis, equals. That's all I have for you. Thank you.